For our subject this weekend, we've got a wonderful subject, a set of lessons for everyone, and they are going to be the seven figurative titles of John's Gospel. And I think that just a few prefatory remarks before Brother Sid gets up and exhorts us tonight from the first one, which is, I am the bread of life. First of all, I think every one of us in the room tonight, if we just think about it a little bit, realize what a blessing and a privilege it is to be here, to meet here, to be able to travel, to have the means to travel, to get here. We're all here, you know, have gotten here safely due to the care of our Lord. And I think it's a blessing that it's, if we're not careful, it can be kind of easy to take for granted. But it really is good to be able to be here with brethren and to be you know, around the Word of God, to be edified and to be strengthened by our fellowship and our interaction one with another. I think that if we think about it and we look around, I think we find ourselves in precarious times. The times that we live in are very precarious. We all, I think, again, every one of us in here, brothers and sisters, would agree that we're here in the closing age of Gentile days. So we have all the things that are attendant with those times. You know, I use that word precarious, and the dictionary definition is dangerous, lacking in security and stability. And certainly, you know, as we look around, that's the environment we find ourselves in. It's a danger. It's dangerous for the ecclesia. There's very little security and stability in a worldly sense. A lot of people are struggling in the environment today. And I could talk about all the various things that are going on in the world that are distressing and perplexing to men. But I'm not going to sit up here and talk about all the mundane things. I mean, everybody realizes what I'm talking about. Everybody knows. The world is in turmoil, and our age really is a lot like that of Noah. We see a lot of the similarities of Noah. So the point is that the only safety and security and stability that we can gain is in the Word and in the direction and the energies we put forth toward the truth. That's the only security and stability that we have. Everything else is temporal, fleeting, and soon to pass away. And we know that as we study the Word. So I think that the time spent in the Word is really the only peace of mind that we can have. There's no really true peace of mind outside of the truth, apart from the truth. And I think that the study this weekend will really help us to get our focus. What I want to do is I want to read the first, if you would, turn with me to Hebrews 12. I want to read the first three verses of Hebrews 12. I think, you know, the Apostle Paul here, he gives us the key to living our life in the truth. What is it we have to do? Where do our energies need to be directed? Is what he tells us here. You know, in chapter 11, we've had the roll call of the faithful, and he recounts the faithful and what they've had to endure, the trials and the afflictions they've endured, and what they did to overcome. And he continues, "Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the stake, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." First of all, just a couple of comments here. In verse 1 he says, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He's speaking to the brethren here. You know, that word, if you look at that word, it really means to be bound up. So, you know, the exhortation is, let us be found with the faithful. This word weight can mean an encumbrance. You know what? That's really good advice, isn't it? Let us put off any encumbrances that would hinder our life in the truth. You know, we need to all think and examine ourselves. Where do our affections lie? You know, where are our energies directed in our life? And I think that this time together, studying, you know, this is something we can do. We can think about those things. He tells us that also that sin doth easily beset us. And we must recognize this. This is something we all have to come to grips with. And I think that, you know, we all know this. The flesh is naturally very perverse. And the only way we can overcome the flesh is to spend time studying the truth and to make, you know, to make the impressions of the Word, put those upon our minds. There's no other formula. But he tells us very clearly that the key is in verse 2 there, to look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So in the lessons we have this weekend, we'll see in Jesus, you know, the highest examples of faith and righteousness. And I think this is what our study will emphasize in the seven figurative titles of John's Gospel. Of course, the Gospel of John is the fourth Gospel, and it emphasizes the divine sonship of the Lord Jesus. It's the only place these titles are found. And essentially, it's a study in God manifestation, and that's really what our subject in essence, if you just, you know, boil it down, is this weekend. It's a study in God manifestation. You know, in John, we have the eagle face of the cherubim presented to us. You know, the Spirit, as it were, embodied in flesh. You know, God, you know, Emmanuel, God with us. There's a very key verse in John, in chapter 20. I want to read a verse 31 of John 20. I think which, you know, tells us the importance of this gospel. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. There's some very important points in this verse. First of all, you know, the events that we read about here in John are recorded for faith, that belief, and really the word is faith. It's also translated faith. There's not really a English form, a verb form in the English. But it's recorded so that faith might be developed. Number two, the subject of the faith is that the Lord Jesus is the Christ, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. That this same Yeshua, Messiah, also is the Son of God. He is the Christ, and He is the Son of God. And then, that through this faith, you might have life, or the life of the Messiah's aeon, or the kingdom age. And that finally, life, this life was to be through His name. So this word belief, it's used twice in this verse right here. It's a very prominent word. It has a prominent place in John's Gospel. In Matthew, this word occurs 12 times. Mark, 16 times. Luke, 11 times. And in John's Gospel, 109 times. So, I think, again, you know, we're talking about a study in God manifestation as we look at these titles. So, this sets forth a very divine principle that's really, I think, especially emphasized in John's Gospel, that belief is the basis of God manifestation. And so, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So there's not a magic formula. We have to study to put these things, impress them upon our mind, these divine principles. And I think we have some wonderful examples and lessons in these seven figurative titles. Of course, there are seven figurative titles. Seven is the number of the covenant. Seven is the number representing perfection and completion. And we see all those things wrapped up in these seven figurative titles. You know, the seven I think that when we look at them in relation to our Lord, the seven represents the fullness and the completeness of the manifestation of the Father in the Son. You know, there in Colossians it says that, you know, in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I may not have quoted that exactly, but I think that we see that this fullness of the manifestation of the Spirit developed and revealed in the person of the Lord Jesus. Let's just read one more verse in John 1:14, and then I'm going to... Brother Sid can come up and give us his remarks. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. So let's give our full attention to Brother Sid.